Well, hallelujah. It's so good to be with you again this week. Now, this week especially builds, this lesson builds on the lesson that I taught last week. And if you haven't heard last week's message about the every word of God has the power to produce the image within it, really you need to stop this one. Go back and listen to that one, because there's just too much in it to try and reteach it again today. But what is the purpose of all this? We're still pressing into revival. See, we're contending for something that has not been seen really on planet Earth since the book of Acts. And we've had revivals. They've mostly been short-lived. There has been demonstrations of power breaking out here and there sporadically. There's even some of that going on right now in the United States. But the Lord has spoken of a revival that we're to enter into that's going to bring a harvest. It's going to be, this one's going to last until Jesus returns. Now, it doesn't mean we're going into a utopia on planet Earth. In fact, I believe the darkness is going to get darker while the light shines brighter this whole time. But anyway, that's another subject. But see, Pastor Dave used to say it like this: if we're actually, you know, we're contending for this revival, if we're actually going to have something that's not been seen, not been had for about 2,000 years, we're going to have to do something different than what has been done. And at least in my lifetime, and my lifetime's getting longer all the time, but in, you know, 76 years, the world has seen, for the most part, a pretty powerless gospel. I mean, I thank God for the preaching, that the pureness of the gospel that has gone forth, Christ and Him crucified, and I thank God for people that preach that, and people that send preachers to preach it, and for all the people that's been born again. I thank God for that. But see, we're coming to the end of all things. Why hasn't the Lord already returned? He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting for this harvest. God's not willing that any should perish. This whole thing is about God getting His family back. And He's wanting to have as many people born again as possible. So He's told us about this end time revival that's, it's going to be beyond the book of Acts. He said, we're going to see things that no human has ever seen. Well, that's going to be something. But Dave would say, if we're going to have that, then we're going to have to do something different than what's been done before. Otherwise, we're just going to have what's been done before. So, you know, God never changes. Jesus never changes. The Word of God never changes. Really, the devil never changes. Thank God there is something that can change. And that's us. So we're doing our best to yield ourselves over to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus said He would lead and guide us into all truth. We're spending time with Him because we know the truth does not change. The truth is in the Word of God. In fact, Jesus is the truth. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But what's happened over these 2,000 years since Jesus ascended back into heaven, man has so mingled his thoughts and ideas with the gospel of Christ that it's become so watered down that it hardly even recognize it as being the gospel anymore. Well, okay, all of that being said, everything that we're teaching, everything we're doing has to do with that revival. And so all we really know to do is meditate in the Word of God. And I'm, you know, meditate, spend time in the Word of God. Do it the way Pastor Dave said, which I don't have time to teach on that today. He has those series available at daveroberson.org, Change My Life. Praying in the Holy Ghost, allowing the Holy Spirit to communicate directly with our reborn spirit. It says, while we're doing that, it says we are communicating these mysteries. We're not explaining mysteries to God, He's explaining mysteries to us. And throwing in some fasting and worshiped. There was a powerful prophecy came through Pastor Bronk Flint from Immokalee, Florida. I believe it was just last Sunday. And I can't begin to share everything that was in it, but this one part I got. It said, right, at least in this season, right now, time in worship is just so important because it brings presence. And even when it comes to the teaching of the word, see, if it's just intellect to intellect, nobody's really changed. I mean, you might gain some information. But see, when the presence of the Lord is there, then it reaches the heart. The same words that might only, well, you know, you're hearing it and you're half asleep or whatever in church, you know. You're hearing it sort of, but it's just intellectual. Well, that's still better than nothing. But no, what he's after is changing the heart. And really what he's after is manifesting Christ in us. Now, again, in the beginning, this might not seem exactly like it's building on last week's message, but it really is. Because I kept thinking about what the angel said to Mary. And in the Greek language, what he said was, not only did he say all things are possible with God, but in those words was this thought. No word from God is without power. And as I kept meditating on that, I kept thinking, well, that's because the word of God is like a seed. I remember Jesus in Mark 4 and other places talking about the sower sows the word. And he's talking about the word of God. And we've taught on that so many times out of Mark 4 and the different kind. The word itself, the word of God is incorruptible. Peter says, we have been born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible seed. We've been born again by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. You know, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. My words, they are spirit. My words, they are life. Oh, man. Thank God for the word of God that has the power, because it's like a seed. It has the power to produce what's in it. And we've taught in the past, and we've not only taught it, I have lived, I've shared victories of, you know, I didn't die of melanoma cancer back in my early 40s, even though the doctors only gave me 6 months. Now, that one was a combination of the word of God, faith, and what the doctors did for me, but it sure changed the diagnosis. They were saying, even with the best they could do, that they didn't think I had 6 months. I was in my early 40s. I'm 76. That's a long 6 months. And then the other time when I had developed an incurable heart disease, they said, you'll have this the rest of your life. But Pastor Dave, thank God for him, told me every time I took my natural medicine to take spiritual medicine. So every time I would take my natural medicine, I'd take one of those pills. I would say my verses out loud. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. Himself bore my infirmities and carried my sicknesses. The Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. He is the Lord that heals me. I do not forget your benefits, Lord. You forgive all my iniquities. You heal all my diseases. Lord, you bless my bread and my water, and you take sickness away from the midst of me. And I would say those every time. At first, it was like 4 or 5 times a day. Over a period of 2 years, he weaned, as I continued to say those words, he weaned me off of that medicine. And in May of 1998, I took the last dose. You know, I kept getting the prescription refilled, and I had taken the last dose out of the bottle. I was going to go get it refilled again, and the Holy Spirit said, you don't need to refill it. You're healed. Why? Because I believed it. See, that's what David told me. He said, God's not obligated to manifest your healing because you threw away your medicine or something. No, God is obligated to manifest your healing the instant you believe it. Well, it took a while for me to get to where I believed it. It took 2 years. Now, since then, I've learned how to incorporate hope with my speaking, but that's not the lesson today. All right, we're going to get to the lesson. I feel like he's got something really neat to share with you. So thinking about last week's message, and again, I hope you have heard that one. about every word of God has the power within it to produce itself. Building on that, I was still thinking and meditating about that, and I kept thinking about oranges. I've got two oranges here today, because I kept thinking about these oranges. I don't know why. I'm thinking about seeds, you know, and I'm thinking, if we went all the way back to Genesis, you know, which came first, the orange or the orange tree? Well, I had to go back and look at it, and I don't have it with me, but if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, the first time he talks about trees, it says God called forth the tree that has the fruit with the seed within itself. He called forth the tree, not the fruit. So God created these trees in the garden. Well, there's all kinds of trees. So I was thinking, you know, when you go to Florida, whenever I'd go down to Bronx Church, especially that last 30 miles, you just drive through miles and miles of orange groves. Boy, that's right there in that part of Florida is where they really grow the oranges. Miles and miles of them. So I don't know, I was thinking about an orange. And so here's a nice orange, you know. It's a good orange. I've eaten several out of this bag. They're sweet and juicy and good. It's a good orange. But the reason we have an orange today is because somewhere back there, there is an original orange tree. So I've got, when a left hand is original, right hand an orange today. But see, in the beginning, there had to be an orange tree. There it is. You know, God told Adam and Eve, all these trees, you can eat freely from the fruit of all these trees. Just the one of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat that one, but everything else you can eat. So surely they picked an orange, and it was sweet and juicy and good. Well, that was at least 6,000 years ago, if there was an orange tree in the Garden of Eden. That was 6,000 years ago. Well, how do we have an orange tree today? Well, what caused that to perpetuate? Because you can eat an orange today because there was an original orange. What causes that? How does that replicate itself season after season? Well, it's seeds. There are seeds in the orange. And that, even in Genesis, it tells you, he called forth the tree that would have the seed-bearing fruit. The fruit would have the seed within itself. Now, I'm going to set these down for just a minute. I want to get my notes up here so I don't forget some things that are important to say today. Hey, I did put it on here too. So it's Genesis chapter 1, if you want to look it up, verses 11 and 12. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb-yielding seed, and the fruit tree. Now notice, he called forth the tree, yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb-yielding seed, after his kind, and the earth brought forth the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And we could teach today on everything produces after its own kind. That's why evolution is just not true. There is some evolution within the species. You know, they found skeletons of little horses, you know, that's not much bigger than a big dog. And, you know, the horses today are much bigger. On the other hand, they found saber-toothed tigers, you know, the skeletons of saber-toothed tigers who are much bigger than the cat that we have today. So anyway, there's evolution and change within the species, but not between the species. See, every seed produces after its own kind. Cats reproduce cats, dogs reproduce dogs. Elephants reproduce elephants. Oranges reproduce oranges. You don't sow an orange seed and get apples, and so forth. So it's important to know that God first brought forth the tree, not the fruit. Because the fruit is the product of the tree, not the other way around. If you want more oranges, you have to plant seeds from an orange. Now, let me start off with this. Okay, let me, because I'm really not talking about growing oranges. We're talking about Christ in you. See, Galatians 2:20. Go ahead and turn over there for just a minute. I know you probably know it by heart. But Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I didn't write this one down, but in the letter to the Philippians, Paul said it this way. He said, as far as he was concerned, for him to live is Christ. That's very similar to this statement here. He's going, you know what that means? He's going, if you were to spend time with me today, what you would see is not anything different than if Christ himself was living in this body instead of me. And that's Galatians 2:20. Somehow, Christ had matured, grown up within. Now, Christ doesn't really grow up. It's the new man. That new man that we're created when we're born again. Ephesians 4 says, put on that new man which is created in righteousness and true holiness. So it's created in the very image of Christ in righteousness and true holiness. But see, Peter tells you that when you first get born again, he says, desire as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So we don't start off fully grown. We start off of that new man. It's righteous. The nature, see, that's the thing that changed. When you get born again, you receive the nature of Christ. Well, the nature of Christ is not a sinner. The nature of Adam, fallen Adam, is. That's why every person born on planet Earth is born with a sin nature, because it's the nature passed down from Adam. But when you get born again, you really get born again, and your nature changes. You go from one species to another species. You go from being a child of Adam, basically, to being a child of God. Jesus said you must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit. And what happens is your nature changes, but your knowledge, not so much. That's why God gave us His Word and gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us and bring us into knowledge. Well, that is a maturing process, that your new man matures, grows up, learns how to function as a child of God. And more what happens is we are changed into the very image of Christ. In fact, I put that one on here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and that should be mirror, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I've heard some preachers say, well, that change is instantaneous the moment you get born again. But that's one of the reasons that I like the Amplified Bible. The Amplified brings out the meanings, the true meanings that are in the Greek that our English Bible was originally written in. Let me read that same verse to you out of the Amplified Bible. And we all, with unveiled face, continually seeing, notice, continually seeing as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We are progressively, not instantaneously, we are progressively being transformed into His image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. See, when I look in the mirror, I'm supposed to see Him. but it's a mirror. Doesn't the mirror show you you? But this says, when I look in the mirror, I'm supposed to see the glory of Christ. See, and the enemy is really good at fogging that mirror. He's going, you're not like him, you short-tempered, selfish, overeating outfit. You're not like him. Well, as long as you agree with that and you keep seeing in the mirror the way you are, there's no power to change what you are by looking at what you are and saying what you are. I always say it this way. There's no power to change what is by saying what is, because it already is. No. God calls those things which be not as though they were, and then they become that. Well, that's like looking in that mirror, and I don't care if you kicked the cat yesterday and yelled at the wife and was mean to the kids. And okay, thank God his mercies are new every morning. Lord, I remember all your benefits. Soul, don't forget his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. Thank you, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning and your compassion fails not. Thank you, Lord, that love covers a multitude of sins. Thank God, you know, if you told Peter to forgive 70 times 7, thank God if he told a human to do that, thank God, God at least does that and way more. And the blood never loses its power. So I don't care how bad it was. Let's talk about Gary and not you. I don't care how bad Gary acted yesterday. I don't care how bad it was. His mercies are new every morning. I can come boldly to the throne of grace, and there I obtain mercy. Why? Because his blood is still on the mercy seat. Mercy is what you need when you need it. Mercy is what you need when you're guilty. When you did it, you need mercy first. You need mercy. Thank God for the mercy that's in the blood of Christ, that he himself took my punishment on that cross. He's already taken the punishment. So I can obtain mercy, but then it's not, that would leave me forgiven but powerless. And find grace to help in my time of need. I believe that's Hebrews 4:16. But see, every time you do that, then you can look in that mirror. You're freshly washed in the blood of the Lamb. He has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. See, in the real born-again you, Alan Taylor teaches really the best on this. The real you is that new man on the inside that's maturing and growing up into the very image of Christ. Christ doesn't grow. He's already full grown, but that new man does. The new man that you are comes to maturity on the inside. And you look in the mirror. Part of what helps that is say, you look in the mirror and you go, you see Christ, but it's a mirror. And you have to start saying what the Bible says. You know, in 1 John it says, as he is, I'm looking in the mirror, as he is, so are we in this world. And again, the devil, fog. No, you're not. You're not like that at all. As he is, so, let's personalize it. As he is, so am I in this world. I'm looking in a mirror. See, and the truth of it is your spirit is created in the image of Christ. Paul brought this to such maturity. I'm going to read Galatians 2:20 again. Paul was able to come to, and in Philippians, he also says, I don't count myself to arrived. I don't think anybody has ever fully arrived, like, you know, to the full image. But Paul says, I'm still pressing toward the mark. But see, he was able to also say this. I may not have fully arrived, but he says, I'll tell you this, I'm crucified with Christ. This is Galatians 2:20 again. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's another witness, Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, well, that's me, which is Christ the Anointed One. Christ means the Anointed One, the Messiah, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, hope has everything to do with what you see on the inside. Hope is like the image that's contained in the seed. See, when Jesus taught, the sower sows the word. You can take that on several levels. I have received healing because he has sown the word. I can take the word of God, sow it in my heart till I believe it. And he manifested healing in my body. Sue and I did it in the realm of prosperity. Now, probably not to the extent that he would like. But boy, we started off, with, you know, money was staying away in great abundance. And he had me take those three or four scriptures and say them 4 hours a day. I didn't know much about godly hope in those days, but even just doing it that way, it's like using his word like a hammer. And I talked about this last week, using his word like a hammer, it still worked. And we come to the bottom of our roller coaster ride financially, and we started up, and he's been providing, you know, his provision has been secure ever since. We had to mature. His word doesn't change. Now, you can apply that to every. We've used his word like that to rescue our children. We had, our daughters are only 2 years apart, and so they were all three teenagers at the same time, and they all rebelled at the same time, some of them to greater degrees than others. But we took God's word. He gave us verses from the prophet Isaiah that he says, I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I will save your children. Boy, we found that verse. We started speaking that over our daughters. And then and then added other scriptures with it. You know, like our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They prophesy, they cast out devils. We were saying that right in the midst of them going to the bars and drinking and probably messing around. Not probably, but messing around. And doing all kinds of stuff they shouldn't be doing. But if you'd asked us, man, we filled our hearts with abundance of his word. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. We filled our reservoir with God's word. And if you, how are your daughters doing? Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They cast out devils. They prophesy. They speak with new tongues. They'll obey Jesus. They love Jesus with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, with all of their strength. However long you're willing to stand there and listen, we just keep telling you the word of God about our daughters. And you know what? That all manifested. God rescued each and every one of them. They, great Christian women serve the Lord to this very day. Praise God. Well, see, all of that is that God intends for all of that. For us to, man, see, Matthew 4:4, man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He intends for us to live that way. But see, ultimately, the real goal is to reproduce children made in the image of Christ on planet Earth. This whole thing is about God getting his family back. And then those children born of the Spirit mature and they become like Christ. Where we can all say, like Paul, Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. In other places he says, I'm crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me. Well, I'd call that some maturity. He says, nevertheless, I live. In other words, he's never going to do away. He loves your personality. He loves you. He doesn't want to get rid of Gary. He loves Gary. But Gary, transformed to Christ-likeness, to the point it's Christ. Somehow this wonderful mystery of the mingling together. See, he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. That's hard for us to understand. I'm not saying I fully understand it. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. It's, you know, it's compared, Christ in the church is compared to a man and his wife. That they come together, they join, and new life is produced from that union. That's God's plan from the very beginning. Male and female, he created them. Anyway, I don't want to get into all of that today. Let's get back to the orange seed for a minute. Let me get my oranges back. The reason we have oranges today is because there was an original orange back there somewhere that God created an orange tree. And I was thinking about this. Okay, now how come 6,000 years later we still have oranges? And almost like in a little vision, I saw seeds going from this orange. And I thought, okay, how that process, how God has continued to have oranges on the earth, or you could say apples or anything, is by the power of seeds. Okay, let me get back to my notes here. And I got to thinking, now, in the natural, we see how that works, you know. How does that work when it comes to Christ in us, reproducing Christ? See, because really, we have Christ, we have Jesus, 2,000 years ago. Yet, it's obvious he wants Christ to be manifested in the earth through us today. Well, he's showing me, in the same way that we have oranges today because of the original orange. Oh, by the way, an orange today is just as sweet and just as juicy. It's not something diminished. An orange today is as good as the original orange. Why? Because the power is in the seed, and it's in the, when it comes to the Word of God, it's incorruptible. You might could corrupt an orange seed, but you cannot corrupt the Word of God. See? See, Jesus said, the works that I do. Okay, let's go 2,000. Here we go. This is orange Jesus. Forgive me. He has to get it simple for me. Jesus is prophesying to us in a way. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, he's prophesying to us. And he's going, the works that I do, shall you do also. What? And he's going, because I go unto my Father. See, as long, he said about himself, he said, a corn of wheat, if it abides alone, it's just one. But if it falls into the ground and dies, like any seed, has to be planted in the ground. Well, Jesus, as you know, was, he said he spent 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. He was literally planted in the ground. So if, like any seed, if it's planted and nurtured, it will grow. So he says, the works that I do, shall you do also. Okay? It's reproducing. Then he says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And he's talking about in the future when he's not even on planet Earth. Why? Because he's going to be in us. He's going to be in us. All right. Hope you got the image of the two oranges there. Hallelujah. Now get this. I was meditating on all this, and I thought, okay, Father, what we're after is fruit. We want the fruit of revival. And I'm thinking along the lines of healings and signs and wonders and legs growing out where there is no leg, blind eyes being opened, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dumb speak, and all that kind of thing. And I'm thinking, Father, what we want is the fruit. And he started talking with me. I started seeing those oranges on the inside. And I said, okay, Jesus said the same works that he did, we're to do also. Let me say it another way. The fruit that he produced on his physical body, okay, healings, miracles, so forth, you're going to do the same thing, okay? So I'm thinking, okay, we're after more fruit, so that means it'd be like the orange. If we want more oranges, then we got to plant orange seeds. And I'm telling you, I heard this as clear as you're hearing my voice right now. I heard the Holy Ghost say, there's no such thing as an orange seed. And I, what? At that point, I didn't know whether to rebuke that voice or what, you know, because, I mean, I have driven through Florida so many times and California also, but mainly Florida. I've driven through miles and miles of orange groves with all these oranges hanging. Some of them hanging, some of them on the ground. I said, Lord, we all know inside every orange there are seeds, and that's how we get more oranges. We plant an orange seed. Again, there's no such thing as an orange seed. What? Then he finally got it across to me what he was talking about. He said, no, you don't plant an orange seed in order to get an orange. There's no such thing as that. Where you just plant an orange seed and an orange comes up out of the ground. No, he says, what there is each one of those seeds is an orange tree seed. Oh. It goes all the way back to Genesis. What did he originally say? He called forth a tree that would produce the fruit. So then I understood, oh, okay, we want fruit, but what you're saying is in order to get the fruit, we first have to plant the seed in order to get the tree. Oh, another thing we all know about fruit only appears on mature trees. And again, I'll tell you that story that my dad planted a peach tree many, many years ago when I was a young man. And a little sapling wasn't even as tall as me, and a little skinny thing. And I don't remember if it was the first season or second season, but it was just still maturing. And the first season that it produced any fruit, they never got any bigger than maybe a golf ball. I don't even know if they're quite that big. They never got any bigger. And now, you know, you could tell the season's coming to an end, and I wanted to taste one. So here I go out there and I pick one of these little peaches, you know, if you can call it that, off of that tree. And I cut it open with my little pocket knife and I bit into that thing. That was the most sour thing I ever put in my mouth. I go, "Ptoo." And at first thought, you think, well, that's not a peach. Peaches are supposed to be sweet and juicy and, you know, wonderful. The juice running down your mouth, you know. "Pah, that can't be a peach." But it was a peach. What's wrong with it? That's a perfectly good peach tree. But what's wrong with it? It's not mature. You only get good fruit off of mature fruit trees. You mean, Lord, that after we plant the seed of your word, we have to deal with this tree and nurture it and bring it to maturity? You see, Jesus said that in Mark chapter 4. He said, "The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how." But he says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Is that not maturity? There's a maturing process. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And only then do you harvest. It has to be brought to maturity. So I'm thinking about, so let me read my little paragraph that I wrote here. It says, when you plant an orange seed, you don't immediately get an orange. What you get is an orange tree. Because there's actually no such thing, I get it now, as an orange seed. There are orange tree seeds. And even if, so what happens is, you can't get the orange without the orange tree. And you can't get, even after you have the tree, you can't get the orange without the tree first coming to maturity. So then I was thinking, Lord, we just want the fruit. You said it right there. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, and so forth. We just want the fruit, Lord. We don't want to, Lord, tend this tree and bring it to maturity, and you know, we could go into the vine and the pruning process and cutting off all the dead limbs so it produces more. Lord, we don't want to deal with all that. Can't you just give us the fruit without any maturity, without that? He said, oh yeah, that's called the gifts of the Spirit. And I went, what? Yeah, he said, well, that's the Corinthian church, which Paul said they were, I mean, he said they come behind in no gift, yet he plainly said to them, I can't even give you meat, I can only give you milk, because you're like little babies in Christ. Same thing Peter said, when you first get born again, desire the sins, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Well, what about in the meantime? He says, listen, without maturity, while you're still a little child, I still want to work through you, but I'll do it by the gifts. And that is one way to live. That is one way to minister. Listen, I don't care if you were born again 5 minutes ago. You are a candidate for the gifts of the Spirit. And Paul said we are to covet. Normally, we're told not to covet. But God wants you to operate in the gifts so much, he used that same word, covet. And this is all in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can read it, and that's where he talks about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And he says, covet earnestly, earnestly covet those gifts. But right at the end of the chapter, he says, yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then when you go into chapter 13, the very next chapter, he starts talking about the very love of God. Well, John tells us in his first epistle, God is love. He doesn't just have love. God is love. And if we are recreated in that same image, what does that mean? At your core, the real, that new man that God birthed, at your core, your little peach tree, your little love tree, your little Christ tree, at your core, there is love. Dave would say, the human spirit, the recreated human spirit that God gives us when we're born again, has the capacity to contain the love of God that's nowhere found on planet Earth. The non-born-again person does not have that same capacity. They can mature in human love. And, you know, sometimes we have a hard time distinguishing. But listen, the love of God, are you kidding? The love of God is so different from human love. It would be like human love compared to the love of an ant or something like that. I mean, it's different species completely. Well, the love of God, and Dave would say, the human, or the reborn human spirit, created, birthed from God, has the capacity to contain the love of God. But you can't get it from this earth. You have to get it directly from God. And now I'm seeing that prophecy again. I think I mentioned it earlier. I don't know if I did. That last Sunday, I believe it was Sunday, a prophecy came through Pastor Bronk. It might have been Wednesday. Anyway. And again, he said, at least for this season, I don't know if he's saying the worship portion of the service was even more important than the word. And I kind of rebelled it. My first thought is, wait a minute, you've exalted your word above your name. And listen, though, he explained what he was talking about. He was saying, listen, if it's only the word, now the pure word spoken intellect to intellect, it never penetrates the heart. But if worship and praise and fellowship has preceded that session where the very presence of God is, then the word can penetrate the heart of the hearer. And that's where all permanent change comes from the heart. He's saying, don't overlook the worship part, because the worship and the praise brings the very presence of God. Dave used to say all the time, if you want revelation knowledge, pray in tongues, meditate his word. He said, but if you want presence, worship God. And in all of these, what we call the blueprint prophecies, and now the many subsequent prophecies that have come after that, over and over and over again, the Lord says, come away with me, my beloved. Spend time with me. And I know what happens when you do that. When you spend time in his presence. See, right now I'm seeing Moses coming down off the mountain. There was a change in Moses. What was it? His face was shining so brightly they couldn't take it. He had been in the literal presence of God. I'm going to say it another way. You know, he was in FaceTime with God to the point the glory so penetrated him, it made his face to shine, and they had to put a veil over his face because he'd been in the very presence of God. And that presence, you could tell it. See, Listen, the covenant we're in is the same covenant Peter was in. And we all love Peter because Peter made mistakes. I mean, you know, I don't know how many, I know I've never publicly denied the Lord, especially not three times. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not trying to exalt myself. I'm just saying, trust me, I make plenty of mistakes. But see, Peter, who denied the Lord three times, was so restored, and so the fellowship that he had with God was so amazing that his physical body was filled with the very presence of God, to the point that they would bring sick people and demon-possessed people and lay them on cots and things along the sidewalk of the street, just hoping that when Peter walked by, his shadow would fall on them. We're not ever told that there's healing power in a shadow. What are they talking about? It hoping that it, the idea was you just get close enough, you get within shadow length of Peter. There was such presence emanating from the man's body. If you laid your sick friend or your uncle, whoever it is there, when that presence, if they're there when the presence comes by, it says they were all healed. To the point they went to other cities and started bringing them in from cities and villages round about, and they were all healed. And if they had devils, the devils came out. And that's Peter. Gives us such great hope. Thank God. God can use you. Well, getting back to the gifts of the Spirit, he says, you know, a lot of times our attitude is, Lord, I don't want to deal with maturing a tree. I just want the fruit right now. Just give me the fruit right now. And he says, well, the way I worded it in my little lesson here says, well, I don't want the tree. I just want the orange. I just want the fruit right now, you know. That's called the gifts of the Spirit. And what that is fruit manifesting among little children without the need of a mature tree. It is a way to produce, for fruit to be manifested on the earth, let's say it that way. That is one way to function. Remain a little child, but yet allow God to use you in the gifts. You know, much of the church, the effectiveness of the church would come up tenfold, or maybe more than that, if people would just rise to that expectancy. I like to do this. If you're watching this, even if you've done it before, we need to tell God we are candidates for the gifts of the Spirit. Let's make ourselves available again. Father, in Jesus' name, I just want you to know I am a candidate for the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, be it unto me according to your word. I just want, even if, no matter what my development level is, you said the Corinthian church was so undeveloped, so immature, that they were still on milk. Well, that may be me, but they came behind in no gift, Lord. And I'm letting you know today, I expect to come behind in no gift. I am available for your use, for the gifts of the Spirit to flow through me anytime you want to do it. I am available. I expect, Holy Spirit, for you to manifest the gifts through me. And I certainly make myself available to you to do that. If the church just rose to that level. Because see, Jesus said, those that believe, not just the apostles were sent to declare the message, but those who hear the message and believe it. Well, that's us. He says, in my name, the very first thing, in my name, they'll cast out devils. As Dave would say, that means Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper, even though they may be considered the least of the least in the kingdom of God, they have authority to cast out devils in his name. Boy, if the church just rose to that level. I can't help but remember when he sent them out to heal the sick and cast out devils and all of those things. You can almost hear the surprise in their voice when they say, Lord, it's almost like, did you know? Even the devils were subject to us. They had to obey us in your name. And I don't know if Jesus does eye rolls, you know, like, well, I told you. Satan got defeated out of heaven a long time ago. I saw him like cast down like lightning. It was that quick. Bam. You know, hey, when it comes to a power showdown, this has never been about power. Satan and all of his minions are created beings. Come on, even at the pinnacle, before they fell, are you kidding? They are not equal with God. They're not even close to equal with God. They are created beings, that something God created, and Satan in his pride, he's gonna overcome God. He's gonna rise above God. How, boy, you talk about pride. And he got a third of the angels. Well, like lightning, they were cast out of heaven. And you can take the least person in the body of Christ. Boy, does this make the devil mad, I'm sure. You can take the least person. He said, those that believe in my name, the very first thing, they'll cast out devils. Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, you have the authority from Jesus Christ and in his name to cast out devils. We're not teaching on that passage today, but they'll speak with new tongues, thank God. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, excuse me again. Let me get another little taste here. Keep the throat lubricated. But I'm done. I mean, can't handle. So that is a way to operate. And that's why Paul says, yes, you can function that way. You can remain as little, talking to the Corinthians, you can remain as Corinthians. You already come behind in no gift. All of these gifts, God's working them through you. That is one way to function. But yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And God's always going to be manifesting healings and miracles and all of that through us. But see, Jesus didn't, all of the gifts flowed and worked through Jesus, but he was not limited on what could happen. I like to use the example, I'll use this, like he's like the waiter in a fine restaurant that comes he's come to take your order. What can I do for you? When they would bring people to Jesus, I'm thinking about the blind men. They're blind, you know, you just assume what they want. But Jesus, he asked them, he says, what would you have me do for you? See, that's a whole different mindset than the gifts. I hope the gifts are manifesting through me today. I don't know exactly what God's going to do. It might be the gift of healing, might be prophecy, might be word of knowledge, I don't know. And when I know exactly what that is. Still to a large degree, that's how I function. But he's trying to mature us to the place of, when we become mature, where Christ is manifesting his life through us, when we really mature to understand that we are sons and heirs of the kingdom of God, when we really start believing what Jesus said to us, all that the Father has is mine. Therefore, said I, the Holy Spirit will take of mine and show it unto you, because his life is our inheritance, if you want to know the truth of it. The life of Christ is our land to be possessed. God has spread it out before us. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath the Son hath life, John said. In 1 John, he that hath not the Son hath not life. It's like God has spread this life in front of us. We can remain babies, barely over into the kingdom of God. We can remain babies and God will use us in the gifts. Or we can mature, and that's 1 Corinthians 13. Grow up. And because God is love. And as we mature, as the tree matures, what is the fruit of the Spirit? In Galatians chapter 5, near the end of that chapter, he says, for the fruit of the Spirit, and he starts listing them, the very first one is what? Love. Well, of course it is, because God is love. You are a love child. Now, not the way the world calls that, but you're the child of love, which is God. So, the seed of love, if you're God's child, the seed of love was planted in you when you were born again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, then joy, peace. I can't quote them exactly from memory. Long-suffering, goodness, temperance, meekness, faith. I hope that's close. All of that is in us, but it's there in seed form. That's why Jesus said it has to be matured. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Because it's one way to function, to remain like a little baby. Selfish. Little babies, they're not interested in milk for you. They're interested in milk for them. You know, it's all about me. And they make messes, but we love them intently. And God loves all of his little babies. He loves them intently. And you better not be hurting one of them either. But he said, my best is that you grow up. That you grow up. That's my best. Okay, I'm getting close to running out of time now. So here, let me make sure that I finish this part of the lesson here. If you want to, he said, I don't want to deal with the tree and maturing the tree, God. I just want the fruit. Well, that can happen. And if you make yourself available, you can stay a baby and God will use you in the gifts. I don't mean a baby like an infant, but a young child. God will use you in the gifts. But see, God wants us to grow up. When the Apostle Paul talks about the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, teacher, pastor, evangelist. I may not have it exactly in order. It says the purpose of that is that we might all grow up unto the maturity of the stature of Christ. No more blown around by every wind of doctrine, but grow up. He gave us his book. I have a Bible right here. He gave us his book, like any good college, university. He gave us his book. And he gave us the teacher, the Holy Spirit. Spend time in the Word of God, this intimacy. Spend time in the Word of God. That is food for your spirit. Pray in other tongues. Now the Holy Spirit is explaining the very mysteries of what you're reading to you. Be sure to spend time in just worship, just you and God. The love of God can only be obtained from God. And the more time you spend literally in his presence, like, again, I see Moses, the glory penetrated him, even in an unborn again state, the glory penetrated to the point they had to put a veil over his face. Well, when you spend time in God's presence, his love, everything God is, there's a flow from him to you. That love, you're maturing into love. And that's what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 13. And really, I think it would be all the fruit of the Spirit. You're maturing in love and joy and peace and long-suffering. All of those things. You become a man. Paul said, you'll become a man. You can put away a lot of these childish things, little toys that you played with when you were a kid, which was fine. But you'll put away that. And you'll learn to operate as a mature man of God. And that would bring us back to Galatians 2:20. Christ, I am here. Let me just read it again. I don't want to misquote it. Here it is. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, I'm going to finish today with just a few more things. Bring my oranges back up here again. We have oranges today because there was an original orange that God created back there. How God perpetuates those oranges is seed, down through the centuries. Seed time, tree, harvest. Seed time, tree, harvest. That's why we... And the oranges today are just like the oranges in the beginning, or you could say, the works that I do shall you do also. Okay? But it's passed down by seeds. Jesus said, I wrote this verse down. Let me find it here. What are the seeds that were Christ can be manifested like the orange, even though it's 2,000 years later. What are the seeds? They are words. That's why Jesus compared the Word of God to seeds. See, in John 6, verse 63, he says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." Let's say it another way. "It is the Spirit that brings life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life." See, somehow, some way, if you're born again, the words of the gospel came to you. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they be sent? Either you read the words yourself in the Bible, somebody took you to a church maybe and you heard the words of the gospel. Somehow, maybe a friend witnessed to you, came over and sat on your porch with you and preached the gospel. See, that's why Paul says, and I didn't look this one up for you, but Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." For the gospel means the words, the words. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, the words of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Now we've come full circle. The angel said unto Mary, "No word of God is without power." Christ is reproduced in the earth today. Christ is like the orange. The Christ you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 2,000 years ago, God's plan is for that same life to be reproduced today through you and through me. But it comes by the process of a tree. That's the new man. The tree, if you want to know the truth of it, the tree is the new man on the inside. That new creature that God created when you got born again and you went from death to life, from darkness to light, you are his child. You are born again, and he sent you his word. He sent you a book and a teacher, the Bible and the Holy Ghost. And the purpose is that new man, like a tree, growing up on the inside of you. In the meantime, he'll use you in the gifts. Right now, at any stage of development, he'll use you in the gifts. But the goal is to be transformed to love, where you become a full son that operates in the inheritance of the saints and will become like Jesus when the people come. Well, because it'll be Christ in us, really. And we'll become like Jesus. And really, it's Christ in us come to maturity. Where it's no longer, "Oh, gee, I hope the gifts are flowing today." No, it'll be just like Jesus. "What would you have me do for you? What would you have me..." My Father has made, we'll start saying like Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is available to you. The kingdom of God is at hand. What would you like to have from my Father's table? What would you like for my Father to do for, what would you like for Christ to do for you today? Because Christ, he dwells in me. Christ dwells in me." That is the hope of the gospel. Let us do those things that bring maturity to the tree, the new man on the inside, so that the fruit can be manifested on our limbs, so that the world can come, eat the fruit, hear the gospel of Jesus, and be saved. We are in the very beginnings of the greatest revival that the world has ever seen. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye for now.